Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Religions, and I mean most major well-known religions. I know there's thousands of them, but the ones that you're familiar with, they completely contradict themselves. Oh, sure. Most of them will tell you to love your neighbor, but an atheist knows he should love his neighbor too. Your own conscience tells you to love your neighbor. You don't need religion for that standard. But when talking about the nature of God, when talking about the identity of God, or God's plan of salvation, or God's way of forgiveness, or any truth claim for that matter, an historical truth claim, a scientific truth claim, a philosophical truth claim, well, Aristotle, the philosopher, put it best. If there are two truth claims and they contradict each other, they cannot both be true. They may both be false, but they cannot both be true. I'll tell you what is true, however. My co-host, Lori Lewis, is always fun and always welcome on our show. This is a truth you can take to the bank. Lori, how are you?
I am so happy to be here as your frequent host of the Bob Siegel
Show. Well, it's becoming a little more frequent than it was.
I am so happy. After the hard time you gave me, I'm glad to be back.
When I told you you were about as frequent as Halley's Comet,
even though we had that. Come on now.
Well, listen, when we had you on last time, you came with a barrel.
I just am a plethora.
A plethora of information. That's a much better word.
I collect plethora.
And we were eventually going to get to Islam, but we never got to it because we talked too much. And then you did tease me, and you teased the audience with this fascinating story about how you said you grew up in the Catholic Church.
I did.
You eventually became an evangelical born again Christian.
I am.
But before that, you took a detour into Scientology. And you said something about how when people leave Scientology, they never leave you alone. And I found that kind of intriguing. Of course, we're taking a little risk because maybe by talking about them today, they won't leave me alone either. But
they finally left me alone.
You're going to do a radio show, you're going to do a radio show.
I am a suppressive person in the realms of the Scientology.
Suppressive.
We're called suppressive people or SPs.
Wait. You mean that's a derogatory name they give
An SP. This is considered by the Scientologist as supremely evil without any rights, and we merit destruction. Scientology declared me a suppressive person, and I'm subjected to what they call the fair game policy.
Okay, now let's back up for a moment, and I need to do a disclaimer. Now, although there are a lot of cults that I've studied, such as Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, I know those groups don't like calling themselves cults, but they actually fit certain definitions of cults. I have not studied Scientology as much. I know a little bit about it. I'm familiar with some of the dumb things they say about Christianity. But when we talk about how they're going to go after people or harass people, I want to make sure we're not doing hearsay. So what would be your evidence and your source? Are you testifying that they've just literally done that to you? Do you have letters, emails, phone calls?
Phone calls. My ex-husband actually left. He is the one that brought me into Scientology. I was married for a very short time in young life.
Did you know that, Chuck, listening up there?
Yes, Chuck knows that I was once married before, and I actually kept his last name as Lori Beebe as my stage name because I used it for so long, but Jim Beebe was Lori Beebe was my stage name, and I still kind of keep that in my name because on Wiki, you can find me on Wikipedia and
whatnot. You should put them together and be Beebe Lewis.
I am. Lori Beebe Lewis is actually my stage name.
Wow.
And if you look at my Twitter and all that, it's Lori Beebe Lewis. But I kept the name because I was known so well when I was singing with the Buckinghams and the Mamas and Papas, I was Lori Beebe. And when you go to Wikipedia and look me up, that's where I am. But Jim Beebe, if you Google him, you'll find all kinds of interesting things about him on YouTube because he did a lot of studying after
he left also?
He brought me into Scientology.
He brought you into it, but is he still into Scientology?
He passed away, but he left the legacy of anti-Scientology.
Okay, he left Scientology before he passed away and
started
wrote
his
a lot
own
of
website where and he
okay,
was
now he didn't pass away because they came after
no,
him.
No. He passed away from
he passed away of natural causes?
Yes.
Allegedly.
Okay, no, he really did. Yeah.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
But he, you know, years of smoking and being in the clubs and, you know, died at a young age. But he and I actually remained really good friends. And he always felt really guilty for bringing me into Scientology because of when he found out really what it was all about. So we'll start with the beginning.
Yeah, in fact, we've got, for our audience listening in, let's do two things. Can you give a quick, as if Lori can do anything quick. I'm amusing even myself as I say this. I could be such a funny guy. Can you give us a quick Reader's Digest definition description of exactly what Scientology is? Then I want to go to your involvement with Scientology, what made you leave. Then after that, we'll fill in all the fun nitty-gritty details.
Ooh,
see, I've charted out the program.
Okay.
It's in three parts, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Okay.
I like a quick Reader's
Digest definition. And this is, folks, this is going to be a learning experience for me because I only know a little bit about Scientology. So I'm here with the rest of you sitting at the Master's feet, Lori Lewis,
learning from
her experience about this incredibly stupid organization called Scientology.
Well, Scion, if you look at the words in the Greek, skios is what? Do you remember?
You're talking about
study of
studyology. Oh, ology.
Ology.
That's the Greek.
It's a study of.
It comes from the word logos.
And yes, it's a study of. And skios is.
Skios is
knowledge.
Gnosis is the Greek word for
okay,
knowledge.
Okay. Yeah. But it's the study of learning, study of knowledge, study of. And they kind of bring these words together to. It starts off kind of in three parts. It starts off with their basic communication course. And it's really, actually, that's what brought me into it. It was so interesting.
What's the bottom line thing that they offer you? What's the hook? What's the enticement to get into Scientology?
What they want to do is they want to bring you into a place where you no longer have any kind of physical ailments, that you are no longer have a reactive mind, as they call it, a mind that reacts to things.
What's an example of a reactive mind?
Highly angry, getting sick because you're upset about something. You know,
so if somebody got involved with Scientology and got upset with Scientology, that would automatically mean you're doing
around,
something wrong because you shouldn't have those feelings.
There's a very interesting way. I don't know if anybody ever saw the Tom Cruise video.
Now, Tom Cruise is involved with Scientology.
Yes, he is.
And who's the other actor? John Travolta. That's the other guy
I was
thinking of.
Many people who are involved in it. I'm very surprised that they are, but they are. And there is a certain interesting thing that happens when you get into a Scientology center because there is so much energy that is going on there. This positive upstats.
Is it really communal? Lots of friendly people?
Yes, everyone is very, very upstats.
So it comes across as a self-help.
It very much does.
But they also call themselves a religion. I like to joke and I like to kid around and I kind of off the top of my head said we're going to discuss this incredibly stupid religion called Scientology. And I realize there may be many people out there listening who are involved with that. So I want to apologize for saying it that way. I think there can be philosophies and religions that when you really study them, they really don't make any sense. That does not mean that intelligent people are not involved. Tom Cruise, for example, is an extremely intelligent and talented man. He's an excellent actor. As far as theater goes, I'm a great big Tom Cruise fan. Lori is a very intelligent, very talented person. She was involved with Scientology. What we're trying to say, what we mean is people could get involved with something because there are things about it that look attractive. It looks like self-help. It's very communal. It's very loving. It's an emotionally exciting group of people, and they're going to help you to overcome your illnesses. Well, that would be attractive to any human being. And so we want to draw a distinction. Sometimes a religion or a philosophy can be false and really not make any sense. And yes, I guess you could call it stupid for want of a better word. That does not mean that all the individuals involved with it are stupid. You've heard me criticize the religion of Islam many times. Islam is a violent, destructive religion. But I have met many Muslims who are unaware that their own religion actually even teaches those things, and they themselves are not violent, destructive people. Atheism does not make sense to me. But I had an atheist on 2 weeks ago, very intelligent guy, very nice guy. So I want to give that disclaimer to all of you who kept the radio on even after I said that.
The beauty of our country is that we have freedom of religious belief, whatever
it is. Freedom
to
call a religion stupid.
That's right.
And then give a disclaimer afterwards saying...
Yes, and
the religion is stupid, but not everybody in the religion is necessarily stupid.
You know, I want to just start off with how I was raised, not just the Catholicism, but, you know, I was a very troubled child. I had a lot of problems. I had communication problems. I had lack of communication skills.
Now, that's interesting because you don't seem to have that problem.
Well, you know, and I owe that to Scientology. I will tell you that there were some good things that I did glean from Scientology, starting off with one of the things that they introduce you to. The first thing is called the communication course. And one of the things they teach you is this thing called an ARC triangle. And you picture an A on the top and an R on the right and affinity, reality, communication. And the idea is that when you have reality with someone, like, for example, you and I, we have a reality that we have, something we have in common with each other is Christianity. So when you have something, one of the parts of the ARC triangle is high. Say we have a reality in Christianity. We like each other more because of it, which causes more communication. So that's why they call it ARC.
There's commonness.
Yes, there's a commonness. Now, this really is something that's been taught in many communication classes, Dale Carnegie, whatever. They just don't call it the ARC triangle. They have other ways formula.
And the desire to benefit yourself and improve yourself as a human being. That's a very noble goal.
Everyone wants to be loved. Everyone wants friends. They want people to like them. And I was a person walking through life not feeling very liked, not knowing how to communicate with people. I didn't even know how to look into each other's eyes. So one of the things that they do is they teach you about this way of communicating. You take this course called TRs, which stands for training routines, where you sit with someone for minutes, then hours, whatever, staring into each other's eyes without blinking. It's actually the beginning of a
staring
form.
Into each other's eyes. I thought your eyes had to blink.
Well, without blinking, and then, you know, obviously your eyes will naturally blink, but without really blinking. And the whole idea of that is learning to look into a person's eyes when you speak with them.
Well, you know, even the Bible says the eye is the lamp of the body.
Absolutely. And then you go into a thing where you define words without pause. Like if I were to say to you, as we're doing TRs, we're looking in each other's eyes, and I say, give me the definition of the word apple.
It's a fruit that you eat.
Good. And then you have to respond with good.
And I like granny apples better than
Macintosh
apples.
And then I would say, give me the definition of the word A.
It's a letter, the first letter of the alphabet.
A.
Oh, am I supposed to now associate it with apple? A.
Do you mean the letter A,
or do you mean A as a word?
Like a word.
We are having a conversation.
Yes.
It's a description of, I guess, a numerical description.
If you had any errs, uhs, hesitation, whatever, you start over. And you go through the word list again. Okay, so there's these drills that you do.
Well, this already seems like torture.
Well,
if I were a terrorist,
actually,
I would have talked a long time.
I was highly drawn to that because I was very, very eager to learn more about communication, to speak better. So in that way, the communication course was the very beginning of the Scientology. And I really liked the course. I passed it with flying colors and I became a better speaker. People were more drawn to me. Inside and outside of Scientology, I became a very, very good communicative person.
Okay, but now they do describe themselves as a religion. So as they were doing these self-improvements and self-awareness seminars, were they adding in a layer of supernatural element and theology?
Well,
not at that point.
No, at this point, you're learning all of their, as they call it, tech, which is technology or their tech, their
words. So do people get involved and not even think it's a religion at first?
They're giving you all of their paperwork and their books, and they're having you read
these books.
So it's
just like self-improvement. They wouldn't even think of this as a religion at all at first.
But in the meantime, they're teaching you all about Dianetics, which is a book that L. Ron Hubbard wrote.
Right. L. Ron Hubbard is the founder of Scientology.
And you're learning about L. Ron Hubbard, and you read his book, or you read a paper on L. Ron, and you go through these things, and you read them. And if you yawn, that means you've misunderstood a word.
And Ron Hubbard considered a man of unquestioned authority?
Unquestioned authority.
Yeah.
Everything that L. Ron Hubbard...
Did he die on the cross and rise from the dead 3 days
L. Ron is the source. He is the source of all things.
And see, whenever you have an organization, and Scientology claims that you can believe, like we said at the top of the program, you can be a Scientologist and be a Christian at the same time.
They told me that I could be a Christian and a Scientologist.
Or be Jewish at the same time.
Right.
Or be a Muslim. And yet, if everything's centering around L. Ron Hubbard rather than Jesus Christ, then you can't be a Scientologist and a Christian at the same time, because it is Jesus Christ that's central to our lives.
Exactly. So after this communication course, which is not very long, it's, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, I think, at the most, they get you into reading this book, Dianetics. And it's a set of these pseudo-scientific ideas and practicing. It's just regarding this metaphysical relationship between the mind and the body.
Isn't that what they called the audit, where you're getting in touch with something that happened in your past?
And well, they bring you into this. It explores the existence of your mind that has three parts, a conscious, an analytical, subconscious. Now, doesn't that sound extremely...
No, it sounds fine. And as a Christian pastor, I've done a lot of memory healing with people and gone into their past.
It's very rational. And you read this and you go, wow, okay. And it's the idea is to remove that reactive mind. So that
your mind's more open. Originally, even though Scientology declared themselves a religion to get their tax-exempt status, and they do have theologies and supernatural things that they teach, when a person first gets involved with them through some of their self-help, self-awareness seminars, they may not be thinking of it as a religion, and the supernatural component is not introduced at that point.
Not at all, no.
Okay, so at what point did they start layering in the ickier stuff?
Well, the next thing that they do is they do something called auditing. You use this e-meter, it's called, and you hold onto these two little tomato juice cans, they look like, and they're connected to this little device, this electropsychometer.
No, wait. Isn't auditing the dealing with some memory from your past?
Right.
So what does that have to do with holding two tomato type cans?
Well, they pass approximately 0.5 volts through a pair of tin-plated tubes, like empty soup cans.
And so they're running electricity through your brain? Is that how they're stimulating?
Well, you're holding on to them, kind of like a lie detector test, and attached to the meter by wires. So they do this, these electrical resistance are believed to be a reliable, precise indication of the changes of your reactive mind.
Okay, wait. Now, this happened to you?
Absolutely.
How long were you involved with them before
after you go right into auditing. You can't wait to get it audited. That's it. You want to go into your past.
How many days or weeks or months were you involved with them before you did this electro-auditing thing?
Within weeks. I was involved in
and
the auditing.
And this didn't make you want to leave, that they were running
electricity? No, because it was very interesting because, you know, the first thing that I would start doing, you know, you start talking about your life. You talk about things that happened to you when a child. Remember now, I have this tumultuous relationship going on with my family. I have this early childhood of some bad things that happened. So I'm holding on to these cans, telling this auditor what happened. And then he wants me to tell the story again and again until what's called your needle is floating. So basically, he sees this needle that's kind of, you know, I don't know how he sees a needle because I was never an auditor. But he, you know, the auditor will ask you to repeat that story over and over again until it no longer has an effect on you. So and you told the story over and over again.
I do see value in dealing.
Yes, absolutely. I've done it with the letters.
With your past, but I'm trying to understand the relevance of this device. I'm assuming this is not a gadget that's been proven by any science.
Well,
it's more
yeah.
like it's what they're claiming that it does.
Well, Hubbard claimed the device that had such sensitivity that it could measure whether or not fruits could experience pain. And he also claimed in 1968 that tomatoes scream when you slice them.
Tomatoes have pain and they scream.
Yes.
Okay.
But he teaches that we're these immortal souls.
So soon we're not going to have to just deal with Peter. We're going to have to deal with people that want to protect their rights of vegetables and tomatoes,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, after you get audited, you have
that's
to.
That's great.
You know, I don't want to get sarcastic with this because it is a very dangerous.
It's kind of hard to resist.
It's a very dangerous group of people. At the time, they were all my friends, loved them very much until.
Okay, what made you see the light? What made you, where did they show
the true colors? Well, after being involved in it for a while.
A while is what, a year?
Oh, maybe 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I started hearing interesting stories from people. And as I got to know people who are higher up in the higher levels, I started to realize that I'm not just involved in some kind of an interesting thing where I'm trying to learn about myself and how to free myself from all my past stuff and why I have panic attacks or why I, you know, overreact when certain things happen. This is what I'm trying to get rid of. And this is what I think Scientology is going to help me do. I'm starting to find out that I'm in a UFO cult. And
yeah,
I'll
now,
tell
now,
you.
Correct me. Aren't they? At first, they're talking as if these are your own memories from this life. But don't you eventually discover, supposedly, that this is the soul, the disembodied soul of some alien from a billion years ago that's inhabiting you?
I had a sore throat once, and they, you know, I, you know, kept talking about, like, okay, tell me a time when you had a sore throat. And I was trying to recall all these times when I had a sore throat, all these times when I had a sore throat. And I'm in there for hours with this guy. And I'm remembering, like, well, remember another time when you had a sore throat. I'm going back to when I was a child, and I'm going back and back. And as early as I can remember, and he goes, now tell me another time when you had a sore throat. And I'm just...
So he eventually gets prenatal and goes to a time before the womb.
So, you know, I remember this girl telling me, like a week or so before, how she was once a chicken and she had her head chopped off. So I just wanted to get out of there. I really seriously just wanted to get out of there because at this point
you know,
I'm feeling...
I think I met her. It was a bucket of extra crispy or was it original recipe?
At this moment, I am feeling under a lot of pressure because I'm in there for a long time and I'm not getting my needles not floating. And I remember this girl telling this story about this chicken, that she was once a chicken and she had her head cut off. And I remember her telling me that the week before. And so I said, okay, I remember, okay, I'm a chicken and I see an axe coming at me. And my neck is chopped off. And he goes, thank you. Your needle's floating. I'm not kidding you. I faked the whole thing.
Just so that they'd back off?
Just so that I could just get out of the room because I felt so pressured under this auditing.
Did you decide it? Was that the moment you decided to leave?
That's when I decided that it was just really like how I learned how I could manipulate the whole session because it was getting to a point.
By telling them what they want to hear.
Exactly. That's what it came down to. And not only that, but they keep records of everything you say, everything you say. Now, let me just tell you the core belief, and this is what I found out. Because I think that if I would have known this in the very beginning, I probably would have never have joined. But this is basically their core belief. And you find this out when you get higher in the echelon of Scientology. 75 million years ago, there was an alien galactic ruler named Xenu.
Well, I thought his name was Commander Adama.
Oh, he was in charge of 76 planets in our part of the galaxy.
76? Just like the Union gas station.
Exactly.
Okay, all right.
And at that time, there was our own planet, and at that time, our planet was called Tigak.
Tigak?
Tigak.
Tigak. And what language is that?
You know, it's Xenu, I guess.
Almost sounds Hebrew. Tigak.
But all the planets that were controlled, they were overpopulated, like on the average of 178 billion people.
Jumping Jiminy.
I know. So Xenu sent out these tax audit demands, and basically
they were doing tax audits?
They did taxes back then,
I'm sorry, folks. We're trying to do this with a straight face,
okay.
But can you tell how difficult it is?
As each one entered the audit centers, they were seized, held down, and injected with a mixture of alcohol, glycol,
were
frozen.
Because they weren't paying their taxes?
No, because they wanted to get rid of the population.
Wait, what did this? How did this start out as tax collecting?
This was your trick to get everybody together. So all of the 1.4 trillion of these frozen people were put into spaceships that looked just like DC-10 airplanes. Oh, no, DC-8 airplanes.
Oh, wow, DC-10 would have been a logical one if they're DC-8 airplanes.
Okay, so the spaceships come to Earth and the frozen people are dumped around these volcanoes in the Canary Islands. And hydrogen bombs are dropped on him, and these frozen
I read about. They were blown up, and then the disembodied souls exist to this day.
Here's kind of what they're saying. The spirits of these aliens were taken into these huge multiplex cinemas, and they had...
Oh, the AMC 20?
Something like that.
Okay.
And Xenu had previously...
It could be the Miramar 18, though.
Xenu had previously instructed his forces to build on Tigak, and then in these movie theaters, the spirits had to spend many days watching these 3D movies.
Everything you're telling me sounds very creative for science fiction, but he was teaching this, L. Ron Hubbard, as science fact.
Well, L. Ron Hubbard once stated, and I don't know the exact quote, but he once stated that if you want to make $1 million, start a religion. And he did just that.
So you're suggesting that L. Ron Hubbard himself didn't sincerely believe this?
You know, I really don't know.
It's hard to look inside a man's motives.
If you read books and things about him, he did all this with automatic writing. He wrote Dianetics in a matter of 45 days with automatic writing.
Okay, and I should say, when we talk about disembodied alien spirits, I want to be fair here because the Bible teaches that there are disembodied evil spirits called demons. So I'm not even claiming we don't believe that. That can be documented, though. There are people that have actually cast demons out of people. I have actually done that. Usually when a religion betrays themselves, it's when they claim, well, you can believe in this and believe in Christianity at the same time. And I want to compare this to Christianity, but let's just back up and review a little bit. So Lori's pointing out how at first there are a lot of logical sensible, friendly, helpful things. And that's why intelligent, well-meaning people can get involved with this.
Absolutely.
But then in time, they hear this story about aliens from another galaxy, and they came to Earth, and they were blown up by a volcano. And so then, Lori, they find out that this self-help that's helping them deal with their own memories is not just their own personal memories, but eventually they discover, supposedly, that they have the memories of an alien soul inhabiting their body, so they could be remembering something that happened in another galaxy a billion years ago,
right?
Well,
and possibly the memories of, you know, that supposedly each person on planet Earth has approximately 2,300 of these alien souls attached to them.
We got a bunch of these guys living inside of us.
Yeah, well, not living inside of us, but attached to us. Sort of like a demonic attachment.
Oh,
I mean, that's
so
how
a,
I see
so
it.
So they're not inside, but they're attached, and they're running thoughts
through
their
mind.
See, I
was told that I could be a Christian and be a Scientologist, but later on I found out that the concept of religion, including God and Christ and Muhammad and Moses, were all false implants.
So they're claiming that these aliens gave a produced a false doctrine.
To control us on Earth.
Okay, so when they say that, but then they also say it's okay to be a Christian and a Scientologist.
That's just in the very beginning.
So they don't really mean that.
No,
then.
They don't.
They'll say that, but they don't really believe
They don't care really what they do to tell you, to lie to you about anything. Even L. Ron Hubbard himself was a liar. He professed to be this guy who was in the Navy and all of these things. And really, when you look up his whole story, none of it really fits and none of it came true. And basically what happened with this one guy who was a researcher, he was Hubbard's biography researcher, he found out that and documented that Hubbard had lied about virtually everything in his past, including education, his degrees, family, explorations, military service, war wounds, scientific research, basically everything, along with his actions and his intentions. Well, when he tried to get the Scientology executives to correct the lies that the organization was promoting, this guy was attacked and basically ended up, you know, getting kicked out and called SP.
Well, and in some of the research I did, and tell me if you heard this too, well, of course, L. Ron Hubbard, again, he's saying you can be a Christian and be a Scientologist at the same time. But then he was claiming that Jesus wasn't really the Christ, didn't really do anything special. That was the least of what he said. But there was a letter that somebody who had been involved with Scientology has produced where Hubbard also claimed that Jesus was a pedophile, a lover of boys and men.
Goodness.
Now, to be fair, that's something that the church has disputed, but it's an ex-member of the church that's produced that. Had you heard anything about that?
You know, I have never heard anything about that. You know, I've received...
Okay, so we do want to say it is being disputed by the church.
I want to say there is always so much junk that was always going around. Who knows the kind of talk they had and things that L. Ron
maybe they were making
just,
up so much stuff they forgot all
L. Ron
the
Hubbard could have
said.
Just said something off the top of his head while he was on the ship or when he was somewhere, because you know he was out of the country for a long, long time. He could have just made a joke about it and people could have written it down like that was tech. You know, everything that L. Ron Hubbard did or said was like he was their god. He still is their god. Well, David Miscavige now is their god, and he is a dictator of Scientology. And it's a very interesting thing. Now, let's flash forward to Lori Lewis.
Yeah, I want to get back to what happened to you when you tried to.
Okay.
At what point, how did you go about leaving the church? Who
did
you talk to and what happened to
you? I saw that it was absolutely a bunch of malarkey and I got less and less interested in it. And I had a really good friend, actually, my girlfriend, who one day when I told her, I think I'm clear. I'm a clear. They told me I'm clear. And she started laughing at me, like hysterically. And
what did you mean when you said clear?
Well, clear means that
you
now have your reactive mind and you're ready to
and they're like,
graduate
oh,
over
Lori,
to the bridge.
You haven't even begun.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
pretty
okay.
much. And so, you know, I started to kind of realize that all this stuff that was going on, it was just this fantasy world. I felt really good when I was around them, but when I wasn't around them, I didn't feel so good. I got to a place where I was basically having a nervous breakdown and having a hard time. I went to the church and asked for help, and they would not help me unless I would give them, you know, thousands of dollars for more
auditing. That's the other thing, they charge for these services.
It was very very expensive
for this stuff.
I mean, they owe me $25,000-$30,000 in my opinion, you know, at least. And my ex-husband at this point, we had, you know, divorced, and he, you know, found the same thing. He was pretty upset about it. He said, what is this, a millionaires club? And one of the people on the phone said, yes, it is. So he was pretty upset about it, too. He exposed Scientology in his own way. Me, I left Chicago and I went on tour and I came to San Diego and I had been hidden away from Scientology for many, many years until one day in January of 2000 and 10. Chuck and I are sitting down and we're just watching TV, enjoying our whatever, American Idol or something. The phone rings. I answer and it's this woman. Hello, is this Lori Lewis? Why, yes, it is. Who is this, please? Are you Lori Lewis that used to live in Chicago? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, old friend. Next thing you know, she goes, did you take this course? Did you take that course? Did you take this course? Did you? And I'm just going, oh my. And I didn't know how to respond because I realized that they had found me. And I'm like, how did you find me? And she goes,
now, were you aware that they look for people or were you surprised that they were even looking for you?
I just didn't imagine why they would want me. I'd moved on with my life. It'd been 25, 30 years almost. Why would they want me?
And what did she say when you said, how did you find me? What was her answer?
She said, we have our ways to find people and we just want to, you know, check in with you and we want to find out, is there a reason why did you leave Scientology? Now, being clever
that I am.
Well,
the part about coming from another galaxy was my first clue.
You know, I wanted to be nice and fair and kind with these people, and I didn't want to, you know, cause any trouble because I already had known what they had done to my ex-husband. I won't talk about all that right now because we don't even have a lot of time with all the following and the cloak and dagger stuff that went on with him with the,
I see another show. I see a sequel show.
It is
show
another show,
somewhere.
And I wish he was alive to tell you, but you can catch him on YouTube. If you get a chance to Google Jim Beebe.
I will do that.
Everyone, please do, because he really, really tells you the story of Scientology and he really has it down. But, I was very polite to her and I said, thank you so much for calling. You know, no, you did not offend me in any way. I mean, they really didn't. I left. I moved on. I'm a Christian.
So you thought they were nice people, but it just wasn't your cup of tea.
That's exactly what I told her. You know, and I said, you know, I really don't. And she wanted to keep me on the phone for the longest time. And I just said, you know, I'm in the middle of doing something with my husband. You know, well, can we call you again? You know, the first time I talked with her, they have everything they do is very methodical. Everything has a formula in their communication, everything. When they're calling you, they actually have formulas to handle you. That's one of their words. Their tech words is handle, to handle someone. So she was trying to handle me.
Handle being defined as what, bringing you back into the fold?
Handle it. I want you to handle it, whatever it is, handle.
Okay, so take care of you.
Yes, take care of me in a way. However,
there's a Lori Lewis problem.
Let's handle Lori and get her back on track. Okay, so, you know, they called me again later, maybe 2 days later. Again, a different person this time, wanting to know what I had done or what had Scientology done to offend me. At this point now, I'm on a mission because now I am going to, because I really realize that they are trying to handle me. I realize that these people are not going to stop calling me until I figure out a way to make them stop calling me, because they will not stop. Once they find you, they do not stop.
Now, is that as bad as it gets that they call you, or would they ever physically
harm
somebody?
Well, you know, I know in some of the people who have been in higher levels and have been really involved in Scientology, I'm sure I'm just a little tadpole on a, you know, little guy. So I, you know, but with people who have really been in there and have been high into the, you know, high levels and maybe been on their staff, yes, people have been incarcerated on their ships. I mean, there's so many things that they have done.
Has anybody actually been killed?
Yes, absolutely.
And this is documented.
You know, go on the web. There are so many stories and so many
stories
things.
By people who had been involved.
Yes,
so they're firsthand testimonies.
I mean, you can read all kinds.
Because I want to be careful not just do hearsay.
I understand. Because I don't know anybody who's died about it. You know,
there are testimonies of people that would say they've been hurt. There's been lawsuits against them.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Did they ever threaten you, or was the worst thing that happened to you that they kept calling you?
The constant phone calls, trying to handle me. My basically telling them, look, here's the deal. I don't believe that I came from another planet. I don't believe, I said, L. Ron Hubbard had a great idea with this communication course. He, you know, there were some good benefits from Scientology, but I'm a born again Christian. I love Jesus. That's what I believe. And I want you to stop calling me and leave me alone. Okay, we're so sorry. We will take you off our mailing list. We will take you off our phone list. Thank you.
So they'd say that and then they'd call you.
Next day, another phone call from another person, a little bit higher up, trying to handle me.
What do they do when you say, I was taken off your mail list?
Okay, finally, after about the fifth call, is there anything Scientology has done to offend you? And I said, you are offending me now by not listening to me. I have asked you politely to stop calling me. I have been very clear to stop sending me all this junk. All of a sudden, I started getting everything in the mail. Just junk, more junk mail that I could just handle from every place that I ever been to, in any Scientology port I had ever been to. I start getting 10, 15 pieces of mail from Scientology on every day, asking them to take me off their mailing list, asking them to stop calling me. At this point, I didn't block my phone because I'm still wanting to have a platform with them to argue with them. because
so you're getting to the point where you're hoping they'll call you again.
Actually,
so you can
at
give
this
them a piece
point,
of your mind.
So I can give. I need to get this off my chest. I need my needle to float, baby. I'm telling you, I am ready. Okay, so finally, at the very end, this guy just would not. He was just relentless, and I go, "Here's how I feel about this. This is how much I don't want you to call me. This is making me so angry." And I'll tell you, I'm a pacifist, sir. I don't believe in even killing a bug, but I am so angry right now. If I had the power and the will, and if I wasn't a Christian, I would come to your center and I would blow that
okay,
place up.
Okay, so you
up.
Weren't claiming you'd really do it. You
no,
were just saying, I'm so angry, I feel like
that's how much I don't like Scientology. And he went, oh, I see. And they never called me again after that.
Do you think they still,
I still
check
get,
up on you
I still
in ways?
Get 20, maybe 20 to 25 pieces of mail a week from them. And the good thing about that is that I figure that those 25 pieces of mail are 25 people that aren't going to get it. I just throw it away just like any other piece of junk mail. I don't read it. I don't look at it. I don't care about it. It's just junk.
Okay,
but I feel
you,
sorry for the person who's going to who'll buy my house because you know what? The people who still live at my house back in Saginaw, Michigan, from where I grew
them.
Up at 18 years old, still get that mail and have asked my parents, how do we get rid of this? How do, you don't get rid of them ever.
It's a generational thing.
It's very, very, very scary.
Well, if you're one of Lori's friends and you're listening and you've ever invited her to a Tupperware or a Mary Kay party, don't put her on your mailing list.
That's okay.
Because she won't blow you up, but she'll tell you she's so angry she feels like blowing you up.
Well, you know, that is how upset it did make me. And the thing about it is that they wanted to send me this DVD, which they did, and I had to watch it. I had to watch this DVD because they said they had new discovered tech. And basically what they said, they talked about how, you know, back in the day, L. Ron Hubbard was used all the dictated with those dictaphone machines, and that some of his words and things that were dictated had inaccuracies. So now they have come out with a whole new set of books that have been all the old inaccuracies of all of his old book are all now fixed. So they have new tech, which all, of course now everybody wants all a whole new set of all the new books as opposed to the old books. And I'm just laughing and thinking to myself, you know, if Ron is source and Ron is the say all, end all, be all of Scientology, then, you know, why didn't they find those mistakes back there, you know, in the 60s and 70s? And now they're like peddling like, oh, Ron made a bunch of mistakes. That's basically what they're saying.
So they're admitting that he made mistakes, but they still want to peddle another version of this
right,
product.
Right, right. But it wasn't Ron's fault. See, it was the fault of the editors.
Okay.
But if you write a book, don't you read your book before you...
Oh, of course.
Of course. And so basically, it is Ron's fault. Whatever came out of that, whatever...
Well, he's the founder.
Right,
it's like
exactly.
Trying to be a Mormon without
and
Joseph
And they're laughing
Smith.
About it, and there's, you know, Chrissy Alley and John Travolta and everybody in this video all up in front laughing. Oh, ha, ha, ha.
And
oh,
probably Kirstie Alley and John Travolta don't know all this stuff about the aliens,
oh, yes,
right?
They do.
They do?
Oh, absolutely.
And they take that seriously?
I'm sure they do.
Wow.
If they don't, then I would be very surprised. If they,
well, one
how
of the things
not,
that
you know?
I was reading about, they say that they try to justify that by saying, well, this was actually a fantasy. Sometimes they call it a fantasy story that's helpful to just recite.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.